You can open your Bibles to Revelation 8 and 9, or it's also going to be on the screen. And we're going to take a really broad look at these chapters. And before reading these chapters that no doubt will fill your head with these strange images that light up the imagination, I want to say three things. First, thank you, my friend Ricky Jones and Matt Howe were very helpful in preparing this, so just know that. But the other two things, I really want these things, it's going to be a little bit longer introduction, because I want you to have these handholds to remember, because as we read this passage that feels very confusing, I think these handholds will kind of keep you in the right direction, okay? And the first handhold is the idea of instant replay, okay? You're probably like me, and you watched college football yesterday, and what happens is at some point you see this great play. Somebody scores a touchdown. Well, after you see somebody score a touchdown, right, what's interesting is the next thing you see on TV is not chronologically what happens next. Actually, they show you the touchdown again, but just from a different angle. Like you see it from maybe the defense's point of view, and you see the offensive line come up, open up and the guy come through. And then they rewind it and they show you the same play from the sideline. You see the team cheering. If you don't understand instant replay and you're watching, you think that they just scored four times in a row. You're like, that's amazing. But no, it was the same play, but shown from a different perspective so that you get the full picture. Okay, Revelation 6 through 20 is three giant instant replays on the same event. Okay, Revelation 6 through 20 is taking this chunk of history, which is from Jesus' resurrection and ascension 2,000 years ago until whenever he returns. So that chunk of history between Jesus' coming, and it shows it to you from different angles, from different perspectives. And unless you get that, you'll think, oh, there's three different things happening. No, it's the same thing, rewound, shown from a different angle. Revelation 6 and 7, which we looked at 2 weeks ago, it's the chunk of history from Jesus' ascension until whenever he comes back, from the perspective of the church, of God's people. Okay, but what we're about to see, what we're about to hear, is that chunk of world history from Jesus' ascension until whenever he comes back, how that's going to be experienced by non-Christians, by the world. And you'll see it. It'll talk about those who dwell on the earth. It'll talk about those who are unsealed. That's Revelation's language for people who do not follow King Jesus, who've not entrusted their lives to him. And so the first thing to hold on to is that what we're about to read is a picture of world history from the perspective of unbelievers, people who don't trust Jesus, okay? And then the second handhold after instant replay is a smoke alarm, all right? Wednesday morning at like 2 a.m. in the Sorghum Fry House, I heard this chirp, 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 and I kind of opened one eye, right, deep sleep. I was like, no, no, no. And then I heard about a minute later, chirp, chirp, chirp. I was like, ugh. And so I got up, right, I was awake, and went and found a smoke alarm, replaced the battery, all that kind of stuff, right? And at that point, I realized, well, two things. One, the amazing theological mystery is, how do smoke alarms only go off at 2 a.m. in the morning? I've never had a battery that needs to be replaced at 2 p.m. or at a convenient time. But the second thing is, think about what smoke alarms do. They inject a small pain, arousing you from sleep, to warn you of a greater danger of whatever, your battery being out or a possible fire coming. So if Revelation 8 through 11 is world history as experienced by non-Christians, what this is saying is these trumpets are like smoke alarms. It's injecting small amounts of pain, trying to rouse a world that is sleepwalking towards destruction in a sober, merciful way, saying, you're in danger. You need to wake up. You need to turn from this path that you're on. Run to safety. So keep those two images, all right? Instant replay, smoke alarm. As we read this, that this picture of what world history is going to be like for non-Christians, for people who do not want to follow Jesus. All right, here we go. And we actually are going to read a lot of this because Jesus says at the beginning of Revelation, he says, blessed are those who just hear this. So it must be blessed for us to even hear these vivid images. So here we go. Verse 1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth, and there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there was followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and those were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water, and the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth. See, there you go, non-Christians. At the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. He was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit, and he opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. And they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who, here we go, do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. That's non-Christians. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. In those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold, and their faces were like human faces. The hair like women's hair, their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with the horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still to come. Actually, I'm going to skip. You see more destruction, verse 20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, we're going to look at this instant replay of what world history is going to be like through these vivid images from the perspective, from the experience of people walking independent of Jesus, people who do not want Jesus as their king and savior, and how these smoke alarms work. Okay, so four things. First, the why. Why did the trumpets blast? The what are they? What in the world are these things? The how do they work? How do these trumpets blast work? And then lastly, the call. All right, the why, the what, the how, the call. All right, the why, verse 1 through 5. And I can only do really an overhead and give you the principles. But what John sees in verse 1 through 5, it sets the stage of why these trumpets blow. And you see this interlude in silence in heaven, which is God's space. It interacts with this space. It's just right on the other side of the veil. And what you see is there's these seven angels, these spiritual messengers. They're standing with seven trumpets getting ready to blow. But before they do, something happens. This incense rising like smoke from under the altar. If you go back to Revelation 6, under the altar are Christians throughout all of history. And they're praying. And what you see is this vivid picture that the prayers of Christians throughout all history are coming up to the throne of God, like a beautiful smelling perfume or incense, and God is smelling it in. And as Christians pray, here is Jesus, come, heal the world, bring your rule and reign, bring peace, clean everything that's broken, bring justice. As God hears that, he responds by the trumpets blowing. Which means the reason that trumpets blow, according to Revelation 7, is God's people are praying. That the shaking force in world history is actually Christians praying. Now look, we said this 2 weeks ago, but Revelation is saying again, which I think means we must forget this. That our prayers aren't like just kind of emails that kind of disappear into the cloud and wonder like, man, I wonder if anybody received that. Actually, I think Revelation is saying, hey, when you pray, this image needs to be in your mind. That those words come up to God like a sweet perfume and he smells it and he responds. And world history is being shaped because Christians are praying. Do you really believe that? Like, when you think about something that a person needs to realize in their life, do you think what's going to be more effective is a prayer for them or are you having a conversation with them? Because I can tell you how self-absorbed I am. I usually think a conversation with me is what's going to fix this. And of course that's needed. But this is saying actually prayer is what moves history. If a relationship needs to be healed or you need to have reconciliation with someone, honestly, what do you think is most effective? Your action or prayer? And this is just saying prayer. If you want injustice to be healed, if you want things to, dirty to be made clean, prayer is the moving force. And so the whole reason that world history is being shaken with all of this pain and hardship and all that is because God hears Christians praying. So that's the why. Christians are praying, come Jesus, come. Bring justice, heal, bring peace. And so the trumpets blow. So what are these trumpets? If God is responding to the prayer, because what you get are these images of nature going berserk, okay? And it makes you say, what in the world? And we've said this before, but this is key for Revelation. The images that John sees are not out of left field. They're not out of thin air. They're images that John would have known. And the reason he would have known them is because all the images come from the Old Testament. John was steeped in the Old Testament, and the hearers of Revelation were steeped in the Old Testament. So when these images are given, they already have a grid of understanding. Oh, this is what this symbolizes. And so when John sees there are seven angels with trumpets that are blowing, how are trumpets seen in the Old Testament? Well, usually trumpets in the Old Testament are announcing God's judgment coming. Think about, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, the famous story of Joshua and Jericho, right? Seven priests walk around the wall of the city blaring trumpets announcing that God's judgment is about to come. You should repent. You should flee. There's other places in the Old Testament, but the trumpets, okay, are warnings of God's judgment. And then second of all, as these trumpets blow, hail and darkness and water turning into blood and locusts start appearing. Again, if someone who is steeped in the Old Testament, as soon as they saw God's people pray and God responds with nature going berserk, like water turned to blood, hail, darkness, every single person would have thought about the Exodus. This whole book in our Bible, which is the giant salvation event of the Old Testament, where God's people Israel are enslaved by Egypt, enslaved by an evil power, and they cry out to God to save them. And God responds by nature going berserk, by sending plagues for their deliverance. Darkness, hail, locusts, water turning to blood. Because those were little bits of judgment that were coming down on the Egyptians, warning them that God is going to save his people. And those struck nature as warnings to the Egyptians. And those very same events that were warnings to the Egyptians were actually saving the Israelites. Right? So if you looked at the plagues, here we go, from the perspective of the Israelites, that's my salvation. Right? That's actually Revelation 6, 7. But those same events to the Egyptians were marks of judgment. Same events. Depends on where you are and what your perspective is. And so the trumpets are warnings of coming judgment to people who are ignoring Jesus. And they're this symbolic picture of all kinds of devastation that touches every aspect of life in every part of the world. So yes, it's broad enough to cover everything. Yes, wildfires in California. Yes, hurricanes that rip through countries. Yes, war. Yes, violence, disease, all of that. Yes, are the trumpets blasting throughout all of world history, bringing little bits of pain into people's lives, saying, wake up. Judgment is coming. If you keep ignoring the Lord, if you keep just wanting to live independent of Jesus, there is a bigger pain coming. So wake up. So the trumpets and the plague-like images are just a symbol of the pain that comes throughout all of history to non-Christians to wake them up. My friend Matt Howell points this out. Like, think about the way that a dog collar with an electrical fence works, right? Some of you might have had this, right? Because dogs sometimes want to run into a street and chase a car, which is a place of great danger. Like, you might die. And so what you do is there's an electrical fence and there's a collar that you put on around the dog. And therefore, as it gets closer to the fence, it shocks them a little bit. If they get even closer, it shocks them more. Why? Because it's trying to inject a smaller pain to keep them from the bigger pain, which is running into the road, which will kill them, right? To live a life that is not following Jesus, to live a life that is just saying, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, is a life that is walking towards a road of destruction, eternal destruction. And so the trumpets are these little smaller pains of loneliness or of disease or all this kind of stuff that is pricking you to feel the danger of the path that you're on, to call you back. It's saying you are in danger. Turn. And so that's the why. God's people are actually praying for Jesus to come. And so the trumpets blow. And the what is these trumpets are warnings that you're on a dangerous path. And he's lovingly bringing bits of pain to try to make you turn. So how do they work? And this is verse 1 through 11. These trumpets of judgment, the way that they work on the heart, on the experience of an unbeliever, is these locusts. Again, everybody goes through hardships. Everybody goes through pain. But it's only the unsealed that get tormented by these scorpions. And so watch, right? The fifth trumpet blasts, the star falls from heaven, possibly a reference to fallen spiritual beings, possibly a reference to Satan, possibly not. But the main focus is this bottomless pit opens up. I'm a Star Wars fan, so I think it looks like the Sarlacc, you know what I mean? And out of this pit come all these like scorpion-like images, right? Scorpions in the Old Testament are always a symbol of God's judgment. And they're these crazy looking locusts with human faces and like rock band hair and big teeth, right? All this kind of stuff. But they're coming from the pit. They're coming from the place of the underworld. It is an image of a demonic army, okay, that is tormenting the world. And what this is saying is behind so much of the pain and so much of the destruction in this world, there is actually dark forces that are trying to persuade you to be blind to Jesus, to keep trusting in other things besides Jesus. And what it is, it's a picture of idolatry, okay? Because again, think about the plagues. The plagues, God struck the sun and the this is back in the Old Testament, and the water and the vegetation. That wasn't random. Those were the gods that Egyptians worshiped. Those were the things the Egyptians said, if I have these, I'm going to be okay. And so God strikes them and starts taking them out, saying, you're not going to be okay if you trust these things. And idolatry is simply worshiping something besides Jesus. It's building your life, your security, your sense of self on something besides God. And that's where you realize these locusts are symbols of those things. They hold out images of wealth and comfort, crowns of gold, beauty, women's hair, power, success, and invincibility. So these demonic locusts represent the power and enticement of idolatry, saying, give your life to these things. Give your life to money. Give your life to beauty. Give your life to power, and you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. But it always has a sting. It always leaves you empty. It always leaves you hollow. And that sting, that hollowness, that eating you up inside is God's gracious judgment showing you the path that you're on. So David Foster Wallace, a novelist who sadly died in 2008 from suicide, but he made this amazing speech at graduation for Kenyon College in 2005. You can go watch it. Here's part of what he says. He says, in the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there's actually, listen to this, no such thing as atheism. He was not a Christian, by the way. There's no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And an outstanding reason for choosing some sort of God is that pretty much anything else you worship, listen to this locust language, will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, you will never have enough money. You'll never feel like you have enough. That's the truth. If you worship your own body and beauty and sexual allure, you will actually always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally plant you in the ground. If you worship power, you'll always feel weak and afraid, and you'll need more and more power over others to keep the fear at bay. If you worship your intellect to be seen as smart, you will always end up feeling stupid, always scared you're going to be figured out as being a fraud, and so on. Did you hear that? That everybody worships something, but if I worship something besides God, if I give myself to money or power or comfort, those things will sting me on the other end because I'll get them and I won't be okay. I'll just feel like I need more. I'll just try to desperately hold on to that as it fades away, and that's the sting. And it's God's grace letting you feel the hollowness of worshiping something besides him. And here's the deal. Jesus in John 8, in this poignant moment in the gospel, he's in a debate with people who are good, religious, and go to church, the Pharisees. And he looks at them, people who read the Bible and pray, and he says, your father is Satan. Which means you can actually be religious and good and in the church and be giving your heart to idols so that you're enslaved by them. So when you see these locusts, don't, you know, picture some, like, I don't know, locust with rock band hair or something. It's just a picture of idols that are enticing you. And always behind idols are demonic forces trying to destroy you. But the sting that you feel, the little bit of loneliness, the little bit of I'm not really satisfied, is the trumpet saying, wake up. This path that you're on is dangerous. So we did this big flyover, okay, of all these trumpets. And I'm just trying to say they are warnings, measured warnings, that are bringing small amounts of pain in people's life, touching things that people tend to worship, and showing that being pretty enough, being wealthy enough, being powerful enough, being popular enough, they will not save you. It's actually a dangerous road. But will you hear the trumpet? And will you turn? And that's the call. Verse 20 and 21 is really sobering because so many people throughout history hear the call, they feel the pain, and it says they do not repent. But I want you to see how gracious the trumpets are. I know when you hear judgment, you think it's not gracious. But it is. These are not irrational moments of out-of-control wrath. The reason you keep hearing a third and 5 months is because you're realizing that God is in a limited way letting people experience pain. If God was just some demented, unhinged God, there wouldn't be six trumpets. He would just end it all right now. But instead, these interventions are calling people to see the pain in their life is a pointer to life away from Jesus. So I have a good friend who went through drug addiction and then recovery, and he will tell you that his turning point for him finally was when his parents, who loved him so much, they cut him off from everything. They took away all access of his money. They kicked him out of the house. They took away every single thing that he kept trying to hold to make himself feel he's okay. And he was literally homeless and on the streets, and he finally realized, these drugs are killing me. And it turned him. And he finally went and got help. Things got that bad. And the trumpets, as crazy and scary as they sound, they are God's merciful intervention, bits and pieces, letting you feel the pain and the warning of living apart from Jesus. Not because he's mean, but because he's calling you to come to him. He's calling you to say, don't let it get worse. I had a parent who one time in cancer ministry told me he knew that his child was struggling. He said, look, I pray quite a bit that my child would actually get caught in college. Because I know that the life that my child is living is very dangerous, and I need him to get caught. I need that little bit of pain to intervene so that maybe it'll wake him up from where this is really leading. This is the call of the trumpets. Repent. If you're not a follower of Jesus, God's trumpets have been blaring for 2,000 years, allowing pain, allowing disease, allowing those things, saying, wake up. He's gracious. He could have ended it 2,000 years ago, but he's giving you time, saying, turn. It's not too late. And the truth is, you need more than simply like fear of consequences. Fear of consequences won't really change us from the inside. What you need to hear is that the way to find refuge from God is to take refuge in him. You need to hear the good news. In March 2012, I'll bring it to a close. True story, there's a series of tornadoes that passed through Indiana. There's a woman named Stephanie Decker in her home with her son and her daughter. She's huddled in the basement for protection. As the tornado is coming, she covers her kids with blankets, and then she covers them with her own body. And the tornado rips through her house. The pillars slam on her, furniture slams on her, 7 ribs were broken, two steel beams fall on her legs, almost sever them completely, but render them paralyzed. And her kids come out of there without a scratch. Her kids come out without a scratch because their mom took the blow. Their mom took the wrath of the tornado. Look, fear of consequences, they might get your attention enough, but they're not enough. You need to know the one behind the trumpets, Jesus, is incredibly gracious. That God came into this world and he took on a human body and he went to a cross and took the full weight of the trumpet. He took the wrath of God. He absorbed it. So if you'll trust him, you're covered by him, you're safe. There is no judgment left for you. He absorbed it. And so what will make you turn is not just watch out, but look at Jesus. He's that good. He came into the world. And so if you are not a Christian, you don't know what you are, today's the day. Turn to him. And if you are a Christian this morning, the trumpet should actually flood your heart with joy. Because the trumpets are not judgment on us. Why? Because we're better people? Because we're smarter people? No, because you're covered in Jesus, because he's that gracious. And so it should actually humble you. And then it should make us pray. It should make you pray for your friends. It should make you pray for unbelievers, because God hears those prayers and works through the trumpets to bring people to himself and then give witness to the world that Jesus is the safe place, that Jesus is where salvation is found. Jesus is better than money or anything else. He will not fail you. He'll cover you for the rest of your life. That's the call of the trumpets. Do you hear him this morning? Let's pray. Father, this is a really heavy passage, and it makes our kind of minds have all kinds of questions. There's things I don't understand in this, but I know at the end of the day, it is showing us that you intervene all throughout history with loving bits of pain and suffering to a world that is running from you and wants nothing to do with you, because you are not running from them. You're running after them, saying, turn to me, there's still time. And so would you blow the trumpets today? Would you help us, whether we are non-Christians, not know what we are, or been Christians for as long as we can remember, would you help us to turn in repentance and see Jesus this morning, the one who took our place on the cross, and find safety in you. In your son's name I pray. Amen.